This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Mourner. Today's show focuses on the arts. A little later, we'll talk about how dramatically arts education differs from school to school in Denver and new recommendations for addressing that. First, to the Denver Art Museum, where for years, curator Timothy Standring has wanted to put on a Vincent van Gogh exhibition. Just one problem, the museum doesn't own a single Van Gogh. So Standring had to turn to other museums and private collections. That meant traveling hundreds of thousands of miles over 7 years to at times plead with curators to loan out their precious works of art. Well, Becoming Van Gogh opens Sunday, and Denver is the only stop. Standring gave us a sneak peek. Timothy, thanks for having us.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Don't you all feel so incredibly lucky to be in here?
To be standing around all of these Van Goghs, it feels special, and I'm a little afraid to touch. Well, I'm not going to touch anything.
I mean, the most important thing is that we've got close to 70 works by Van Gogh, drawings, paintings, even one lithograph that he did.
And this is not a random collection of images. You're trying to tell a story here.
Well, that's why I traveled to the four corners of the globe. There's a life story here that we're telling. It's not just about Van Gogh becoming an artist, but it tells us that anybody can succeed if you put your mind and heart to it.
And you have a tremendous amount of talent. Come on.
But he worked at it. His gifts that he recognized, he always drew. He always drew.
So he's, from when he was
a
kid.
Little Vinny's drawing. When he's five. And it was finally after his fourth career decision that he said, I'm going to become an artist.
He had tried to be a minister?
He was an evangelical minister. Prior to that, he was an art clerk. He was a theological student, and he was a sort of social worker in Brussels. So all these careers, but they bear on him becoming a self-taught artist. He didn't go directly to an art school. He taught himself how to paint and draw. And we're standing in front of one of his great successes from 1881.
This is a piece called Road in Eden, and it's a drawing.
Well, it's a drawing which really manifests his early interest in materials and techniques because he's using graphite. He loved carpenter's pencils. And after putting carpenter pencil, the rough outline of this avenue of pollard trees.
These are very creepy, dark, leafless trees. So are we in winter at this point?
We're probably in winter. They're sweeping the street. These were all characters, the figures in the street, were actually models that he would ask when he lived in The Hague. And he would say, could you come to my studio? And he would actually dress them up in costume and sketch them. And then he would reuse those sketches in this larger landscape composition.
And we're looking down a road. They're sweeping what appears to be a stone road. But it's very bleak. There's not a lot of color here.
What's interesting about this is that he's using washes of ink with a little bit of pen, and then he's putting black chalk on top of that in various intensities, in various pressure of the chalk. I mean, this is an extraordinary drawing already about a year and a half into his self-proclaimed career.
So it's been a year and a half that he's declared himself an artist.
He actually gets instruction manuals, and he reads to become an artist.
Why did you want this piece in the show?
I wanted this piece in the show because it tells a great story of his early achievement as a year and a half after becoming an artist. And he shows himself working with different materials and techniques. I mean, the important thing about Van Gogh is that you can't really understand the great achievements of 1888 in Arles or 87 when he's in Paris without understanding the experiments that took place in Holland. That's what makes this exhibition so unique.
We talk about this being early in his art career, 1881, but it's not long before his death. This was a short period in which he was prolific, from about 1880 to 1890.
Oh, absolutely. He produced about 800 paintings, close to 1,000 drawings, maybe 20, 30 lithographs in his lifetime, incredibly prolific. He produced every day. He could not draw.
And when you're putting together a Van Gogh show, which we're getting a preview of now at the Denver Art Museum. I'm Ryan Warner, and you're listening to Colorado Matters. We're with Timothy Standring at the Denver Art Museum for a preview of Becoming Van Gogh. When you're putting a show together like this, Timothy, that means you've got lots of places to hunt for works. And I understand you went 3 different times to Oslo, Norway, to get your hands on a particular piece. Shall we go take a look?
Oh, I can't wait to show you. We're looking at the little village of Arles in the south of France, where Vincent van Gogh had actually hiked from the city to this little mountain called Montmajour. To the left are rail factories, and then there's the skyline of the various church steeples of the town, and then the Rhone River coming through, cumulus clouds coming forward to us, cirrus clouds in the far distance, and imminent storms about to take place.
And this is a drawing.
This is a drawing. What makes it incredible is that it's in pristine condition. I mean, you know, I've traveled all the four corners of the earth looking at as many Van Gogh paintings and drawings as possible. This is a highly cerebral work of art. He had to lay in the lighter values of the ink first before then putting the darker values of the ink on top of that. So he's thinking in reverse.
He's building.
He's building. The whole apparatus of these spiky trees, the rock formation of the mountain, the canal running through, the river going in the far distance. And he's thinking about paper surface, and he's thinking about his little reed pens. He said that the reeds here in Arles are better than those in Holland. And he'd take out his Swiss Army knife, and he'd carve his own point and then put a little slit down the top. And that allows the ink to come up. And then when he touches the paper, it leaches down onto the paper.
Now, you, as we said, traveled 3 times to Oslo to get your hands on this.
Correct.
And I think
for them to agree to loan the drawing.
Right. And that was not always easy convincing.
But remember, I spent 3 months writing a template loan letter, which would say in no uncertain terms, if you don't loan this painting, it's going to wreck our entire narrative.
And you sent 500 or so of these letters. Bring me to a moment where you're standing with a curator of another institution. There are 60 institutions represented with all these paintings, and you finally convinced them.
Do you know what I did? I used an iPad to simply show the curator and say, here's where your work fits in my story. This is my exhibition. And everybody could see it instantly. It was the storyline, it was the originality of the exhibition, which allowed close to 90 works to come to Colorado for 12 weeks, only one venue on the face of the earth.
Is part of this show about recrafting the narrative for the masses that Van Gogh was just this overnight success madman?
Yeah, spot on, Ryan. This was intended to be corrective to say that Van Gogh was rational, systematic, pragmatic. It's all about becoming an artist.
And often he would use himself as a subject. You have in this show 3 Van Gogh self-portraits. I'd like to take a look at them with you.
Let's go look.
3 paintings. Van Gogh in a straw hat, Van Gogh in a felt hat, and Van Gogh with no hat, and his balding reddish hair and reddish beard. Why did he paint himself as often as he did?
His self-portraits really began as a very practical matter. It was less expensive. It's very easy just
to go out. It's cheap to paint yourself than pay a sitter, right?
All you have to do is buy a mirror. Remember, he was supported almost entirely during his career by his brother, Theo. And when he came to Paris in February 1886, he needed to learn about color. And he stopped drawing. And so he did either still life painting, which was less expensive than a model, or he turned to doing his own self-portrait. I think he did about 30 self-portraits when he was in Paris, and we have 10% of those. How about that?
Three self-portraits, right? Yeah. And you have some still life. I noticed in the other gallery,
we have boots. A whole series. We have boots, very humble object, which he's trying to ennoble.
So let's talk about color, because we have, until this point, looked mostly at drawings that are either monochromatic or maybe just a few muted colors. This image of him in the straw hat is just bursting with color. The gold of his straw hat, and then just this red line that shows you his collar and his lapel. And then that telltale Van Gogh background.
Well, the telltale Van Gogh background is the strokes of blue, the dashes, the daubs, the mark making. But remember, we saw that earlier on in his career. But the other thing about it is now he's doing it in color.
This image of Van Gogh in a straw hat, I think, is very recognizable. We'll post an image of it to cpr.org. Why do his pieces still speak to us, still speak to you?
Well, the work still speak to everybody because we identify with any underdog, I think. I think we just identify with somebody who made it and somebody who wouldn't give up. I learned to love this guy so much throughout the 7 years that I put into this project of really getting to the heart of what Van Gogh was doing as he was learning to become an artist. That's the great reward for me, and it's the great reward for everybody coming to this exhibition.
Thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Timothy Standring is curator of painting and sculpture at the Denver Art Museum. Becoming Van Gogh opens Sunday and runs through January 20th.